What's the difference between cats and dogs? Or what's the difference between dogs and cats?
Okay.
Many, many, many things can be said that's different between dogs and cats. And there are actually many things that differentiate dogs and cats. Because if I asked you what the differences are, you'd probably give me opinions on facts. But there are factual differences. And people sway one way. I'm a cat person. I'm a dog person. And some people have disdain for you. What? You're cat people? We get that. We were cat. Doesn't mean we dislike dogs, but prefer cats. Every once in a while over the last 40 years or so, it's popped up that maybe we should get a dog. Never have. But the many differences between dogs and cats all are connected to one great big character difference between the purring pussycat and the lovable. Cats of all varieties, from the, well, the lions are really the only exception. But cats of all varieties are generally solitary critters. They live by themselves. Occasionally they live in groups, and feral colonies develop like any keys. And these groups of cats are called clouders, by the way. C-L-O-W-D-E-R-S, you know, like a herd of fish or a flock of dolphins. Yes, in the back, there's a pot of dolphins. So a group of cats is called a clouder. But that's an exception. It usually happens if people are feeding them before they hang around in one spot. But pussycats, lions, not tigers, yes, are solitary. They tail coming. They'll be on their own. And they don't care about their status usually. Two tomcats will get in a fight and they won't walk away, but they really don't ever hurt each other. And submit and leave. Now dogs, on the other hand, well, you're talking about things that people push around and stroller. Chihuahuas. Little chihuahuas. Up to a big old dogs like to live together, live in packs. They're not solitary. They would much prefer to live with other dogs. And when they don't, people become their other dogs. Which is why sometimes dogs can be nasty to people who aren't their people. That can happen with cats, too, but it's not like any other dog. There is a strict and particular pecking order. You check and check, right? Pecking order in groups of dogs. In a pack of dogs, there is also always an alpha male and an alpha female. In a pack is big enough, there's also a beta male and a beta female. For example, in wolves, a pack of wolves, only the alpha male and female has puppies. Let's know. But then big pack, occasionally the betas will too. That's off the order. But the alpha male and female, they are the top dogs. Pun intended. And you better not forget it amongst the pack, otherwise you get beat up. You just chased away, and to be knocked out of a pack is almost fatal for a dog type of. The difference, though, between dogs and cats is something we call independence. It isn't that cats don't care about other cats or people, but they aren't slaves to their society. They don't have this particular set of rules they go by like a pack of wolves does. Dogs? Oh, yeah. You ever seen a little tiny dog chase a big old dog out of its yard? And that big old dog will go. Because the big old dog is breaking protocol and the law of the dog. And again, a couple tomcats will get into it too, but not the same way. It almost sounds like people, right? Where we go after each other. But the main way that the difference between dogs and cats is noticed by human beings in captivity, which brings up the question, who is in captivity? Us or them? Are we held captive by the dogs and the cats, or the only animal that has domesticated itself? Cats moved in with people. People didn't bring them in. people started storing stuff. We had mice and rats come in. That's what cats came into. Kind of stayed around. Cats domesticated themselves. Or domesticated us. But what we noticed once dogs and cats came into our lives is that dogs are obedient. Cats, not so much. People too. You have a well-trained dog, and you walk up to the edge of a cliff, and you tell a dog, jump, the dog gonna jump off the cliff. You have a cat sitting there, and you say, jump, the cat's gonna look at you and say, you first. Or something less nice. I find it interesting that in Scripture, people are often compared to sheep. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I am a good shepherd, and you have sheep in his fold, things of that nature. And it's in disregard to almost any other animal. No other animals people are compared to their up. At least any great extent. No, Jesus does call the Pharisees vipers. You know, brood of vipers. So they're snakes. But sheep is the most common metaphor for people. And sheep aren't independent. They are very independent. They are flocking animals. It's like dogs are packing animals. Flocking animals. But sheep are not very obedient either. That's why you have dogs that herd sheep. Because dogs are obedient. They will do what you tell them to, and sheep just follow them. Sheep are also dumb. On the intelligence scale is somewhere between a slug and a toaster. An old-style toaster that didn't have electronics in it. They really are stupid, man. So you want to be insulted. You want to be insulted easily. Every time you're referred to as a sheep in the Bible, you're being insulted because of you. I know this firsthand. I used to have a flock of 125 sheep. I know sheep very well. And they are not obedient. In dogs, obedience is kind of a genetic characteristic. And disobedience in cats, or their independence, is kind of genetic. Not true in people. In people, it's a matter of choice. Hey, Pat, get me a cup of coffee. Gross girl. You can't sort of shake her head. But she's a pussy cat. If she was a puppy dog, she'd run and get me a cup of coffee. But you have a choice. If you face this, you have a choice. Like you're in the army. Of course, you are in the army. But you have a human choice of whether to follow a command or disregard it. Now, God created us with a sense of free will. And there's two kinds of free will. One is that says, okay, I'm going to move this cup back and forth. That's become my own. In the kind deal with God and us directly. But God gave us a sense of free will that allows us to make choices between, for example, good and evil. Now, because of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, we've kind of inherited this propensity for picking evil. Because they didn't really know the difference between good and evil. Until the fall in the garden, but then they did, and after that they had a choice to make over and over and over again. So this ability that God gave us to choose between two things, maybe not in the sense of good and evil, but I like that, I don't like that. Well, I want that, I don't want that. Your choice of whatever was okay. Before sin entered the world, maybe Adam and Eve were walking around the garden and they said, hey, what do you want for dinner tonight? Apples or oranges? And they decided, well, we're not conscious of it. Okay, make a choice. Not commanded to eat oranges on Thursday. And apples on Friday. But when they get the choice of listening to Satan and following his advice, God, they chose Satan. And we make that choice again every single time, every moment of our lives. Which leads me to one of the most amazing things about God. Everything about God is one of the most amazing things. maybe the, to me it's the most amazing, is that even before creation, he knew what kind of screw-ups people were going to be. God didn't create us as screw-ups. He created us with free choice and the ability to screw up, and he knew we were going to. He created us anyway. But would any one of us make something on purpose that we knew wasn't going to work right? If we knew we could make it, that it would work right. No. But God did anyway because he loved us. From before the beginning, all the way to today, and through tomorrow. Last week I talked to you about faithfulness. That's part of God's faithfulness. And what it means. What it is. I also was talking about how hard it is to live in a faithful way. Talking about living faithfully can cause you grief because it seems like it causes endless pain and suffering, small and great, difficulties in relationships. But if you have help living faithfully because it affects the relationship, then you probably shouldn't be in that relationship. But that really changes. If your faith in God impacts negatively on a relationship, something wrong there. You get rough edges in social life, the whole nine yards. But the bottom line about what faithfulness is, everything I talked about last week comes down to one thing. Obedience. Obedience to God's word, personalized in Jesus. We are being called to obey throughout the whole book. We look at it over and over and over again. We are called to obey, sometimes directly. Sometimes just kind of. Also present in this book are many, many examples of what happens if we don't obey. And we think the problems of living faithfully and in obedience are difficult. What would happen if there's disobedience? Think of the story of Jonah. Jonah gets a command from God. Jonah says no, runs away. What happens? He has all kinds of problems, winding up getting eaten by fish. Well, whatever. And shoots up on land until finally he says, okay, I'll do it. Then you look at Lot. Lot was in the city, was going to be destroyed, and he said, leave, don't look back. His wife looked back, no more the wife. Disobeyed a command. In the New Testament, you even have examples. You go to the book of Acts, and Ananias and Sapphira come up and say, here, we sold our land, and here's all the money from it. Peter says to them, is that all of it? They both said, yes. They lied. They died. Obedience. And finally, look at the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, all kinds of consequences of disobedience. You want more? Look, just read the books of Judges and Kings in the Old Testament. Every time Israel disobeyed God and departed from the proper path, they got invaded. They were subjected. They were made slaves again for a number of years until they cried out to God and God rescued them again, up and down. The psalmist says in chapter 33, verse 12, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. A nation, whether it be Israel, whether it be any nation that has God as its leader, following in obedience and faithfulness, happy. No, joyful. If you have God, you are always joyful. You might not be happy. You can be in a dungeon waiting for execution. It's not happening. You need to remember that as individual people, because as individual Christians, we are a nation. We don't live in a Christian nation. We live in a nation that is independent. Now look at us today. Jesus gave us his final commands in the passage I read this morning, which is the Great Commission. Last thing he said to his disciples before he left after his resurrection. Go into all the world, preach, teach, make disciples, and have them obey everything I've taught you. Last thing he says is have New Christians obey God. In order to do that, we need to look back at our history. For us, at our history. And we need to look at all of our history. All the way back to good, the bad, and the ugly. A couple years ago, they started yanking down statues of like Robert E. Lee. Okay? Stupid. Stupid. Were they right, these people? In their at least partial intent of having Robert E. Lee known for his position on slavery. He was a slave owner. And he was a general of a group of people that were fighting to keep slavery. Yes. But by removing him completely, guess what? That message goes away. What they could have done in his day was taken the plaque that was there. It said, Robert E. Lee, great general, country of Virginia, yada, yada, yada. And next to it, put down, Robert E. Lee, slaveholder, did this, that, and the other thing. Should have put both sides on it. I don't remember who said it, but you all heard it. Those who do not know history are apt to repeat it. You take away those things, you just want your history to be. But yeah, you take away these things, sure. In Germany, it is illegal to portray any kind of Nazi medallion outside of a museum. Which means if you walk down the street where your grandfather was a Nazi here, and you discovered a pin that had a swastika on it, you put it on your jacket just because, you walk in, you can get arrested. If you're not a Nazi, you're just, hey, this is kind of neat. And you're young enough, you don't even know what it means. Can't do it. You forget it. We need to remember our history, to remember it, but not to emulate it, but to do better. Not to emulate it, but to do better. At least the evil forces we don't emulate. You don't want to repeat them. We have to look at our Christian history as well, and not to repeat it. When Europeans came to this part of the world, convert or die. And what the Indians here, they said no, they got bang, you got it. Stupid. Stupid. If I honestly, truly believe that my mission here is to help you get saved, become Christians, and I shoot you because you say no the first time I ask, how is that helping you? What they should have done in the 15th century, 16th century mindset was enslave you. And keep preaching at you until he got you. I said 16th. I don't approve of slavery. But that's what I said. In that mindset. Okay, Pat? Which is looking at me like an evil thing. I'm not good, but I'm not evil either. So, but that's what they should have done. They should have kept them alive and around. Put in the word. And keep preaching at them. Until they converted. And then I don't know, let them go. You know, or free them and keep them on as work, whatever it is. But that wasn't really the mission. The mission was goal, greed, evil. They made choices. You say, I'll convert. You say no. So shoot you, put you to work. Who gets the better deal? Well, you do. I do. Because you work for me digging gold out of the ground, and guess what? I get rich, which is my goal. And I get rid of a troublemaker. Yeah, I know you, Ellie. You're a troublemaker. I mean, just look at his eyes. He's a troublemaker. The purported purpose of the conquistadores coming to the New World with the Jesuit priests and the Benedictines and the Franciscans to convert the native population was in line with the Great Commission. To go and preach the gospel and make disciples, but not at the point of a gun. That's Islamic, to run out with a point of a sword. Islamics do not have good news. We have good news. The only news that way is false. We can't be slavishly obedient to the past, which is the legalistic shortcomings of the Pharisees in the New Testament, and even more modern type rabbinical Judaism, where you have to keep doing stuff exactly like it is over. And it is, it's in the church. It's in the church. You go to a Roman Catholic church, and basically, not a problem with it. But I knew a priest once, if he was doing a printed prayer, and he misspoke a word, he went back and started at the beginning, and he didn't count. If he got a printed prayer wrong, when they came from Rome, he had to go back to the beginning. Sorry, I once saw him do the same prayer 3 times in the service because he spoke the word wrong. That was it. You can't be legalistic because Jesus, God, is not legalistic. We cannot do that. We cannot justify ourselves. It all comes down to God. We know we won't be perfect. We know we can't be perfect. We're independent. We tend to disobedience. But we can try to live obediently and faithfully. God is not humanity, my robot. Only obedient to everything like a dog. Nor are we supposed to be intentionally rebellious and disobedient. I have written here like a cat, but I don't think cats are trying to be rebellious, but yes, it is. One of the great attractions of a cat over a dog is it is independent. It's got its own mind. It doesn't do whatever it tells it to do. So, you leave the house, you want the car, come back, and the dog jumps up and says, oh, you've been gone? Oh, I was glad to see you. Is it a cat? Is it you back already? Yeah. Cats are their own people. Dogs are, and I don't like that attitude. But God wants us somewhere between the two extremes of the dog and the cat. Obedient, like the dog, but by choice. Not slavish, uncomprehending response like the dog. Nor the diffidence and indifference and rebelliousness of the cat. So, my command to you. My command to you is to be obedient and live faithfully. And actually, I'm not commanding you to do that. Even unto death.